Botanical surveys of plants living on Easter within the 20th century have identified only 48 native species, even the biggest of them hardly worthy of being called a tree, and the rest of them low ferns, grasses, sedges, and shrubs. However, several methods for recovering remains of vanished plants have shown within the last few decades that, for hundreds of thousands of years before human arrival and during the early days of human settlement, Easter was not at all a barren wasteland, but a subtropical forest of tall trees and woody bushes. The first such method to yield results was the technique of pollen analysis, or palynology, which involves boring out a column of sediment deposited in a swamp or pond. In such a column, the surface mud must have been deposited most recently, while more deeply buried mud represents more ancient deposits. The actual age of each layer in the deposit can be dated by radiocarbon methods. There remains the incredibly tedious task of examining tens of thousands of pollen grains in the column under a microscope, counting them, and then identifying the plant species producing each grain by comparison with modern pollen from known plant species. For Easter Island, the first bleary-eyed scientist to perform that task was a Swedish palynologist, Olof Selling, who examined cores collected from the swamps by Heyerdahl's 1955 expedition. He detected abundant pollen of an unidentified species of palm tree, of which Easter today has no native species. In 1977 and 1983, John Flenley collected many more sediment cores and again noticed abundant palm pollen. In 1983, he also obtained some fossil palm nuts that visiting French cave explorers had discovered that year, and he sent them to the world's leading palm expert for identification. The nuts turned out to be very similar to, but slightly larger than, those of the world's largest existing palm tree, the Chilean wine palm, which grows up to 65 feet tall and 3 feet in diameter. Subsequent visitors to Easter have found more evidence of the palm in the form of casts of its trunks buried in Mount Taravaca's lava, and casts of its root bundles, proving that the Easter palm's trunk reached diameters exceeding 7 feet. It dwarfed even the Chilean palm, and was, while it existed, the biggest palm in the world. Chileans prize their wine palm for several reasons, and Easter Islanders would have done so as well. As the name implies, the trunk yields a sweet sap that can be fermented to wine or boiled down to make honey or sugar. The nut's oily kernels are rated a delicacy. The fronds are ideal for fabricating into house thatching, baskets, mats, and boat sails. And, of course, the stout trunks would have served to transport and erect moai, and perhaps to make rafts. Flenley and Sarah King recognized pollen of 5 other now-extinct trees in the sediment cores. More recently, the French archaeologist Catherine Orliac has been sieving out 30,000 fragments of wood, burned to charcoal, from cores dug into Easter Island ovens and garbage heaps. She has identified about 16 other plant species, most of them trees related to or the same as trees still widespread in East Polynesia. Thus, Easter used to support a diverse forest. The person who pored through 6,433 bones of birds and other vertebrates from early middens at Anacana Beach was zooarchaeologist David Stedman. He proved that Easter, which today supports not a single species of native land bird, was formerly home to at least 6 of them. More impressive was Easter's prodigious total of at least 25 nesting seabird species, making it formerly the richest breeding site in all of Polynesia, and probably in the whole Pacific. The Anacana excavations that yielded those bird bones tell us much about the diet and lifestyle of Easter's first human settlers. Out of those 6,433 vertebrate bones identified, the most frequent ones, accounting for more than 1/3 of the total, proved to belong to the common dolphin, a porpoise weighing up to 165 pounds. The common dolphin generally lives out to sea, hence it must have been harpooned far offshore in big seaworthy canoes built from tall trees. Fish bones also occur in the middens, but account there for only 23% of all bones, whereas elsewhere in Polynesia they were 90% or more of all bones. That low contribution of fish was because there are few places to catch fish by net or handline in shallow water. For the same reason, the Easter diet was low in mollusks and sea urchins. To compensate, there were those abundant seabirds plus the land birds. Bird stew would have been seasoned with meat from large numbers of rats, which reached Easter as stowaways in the canoes of the Polynesian colonists. Easter is the sole known Polynesian island at whose archaeological sites rat bones outnumber fish bones. Other bones testify to the occasional availability of seals, sea turtles, and perhaps of large lizards. All those delicacies were cooked over firewood that can be identified as having come from Easter's subsequently vanished forests. The giant palm and all the other trees disappeared for half a dozen reasons that we can document or infer. Charcoal samples from ovens proved directly that trees were being burned for firewood. They were also being burned to cremate bodies. Trees were being cleared for gardens, because most of Easter's land surface, except at the highest elevations, ended up being used to grow crops. From the early midden abundance of bones of open-ocean porpoises and tuna, we infer that big trees were being felled to make seaworthy canoes. We infer that trees furnished timber and rope for transporting and erecting statues, and undoubtedly for a multitude of other purposes. Most radiocarbon dates on the palm nuts are before 1500, suggesting that the palm became rare or extinct thereafter. Radiocarbon-dated charcoal samples from ovens and garbage pits show wood charcoal being replaced by herb and grass fuels after 1640, even at elite houses. This suggests that forest clearance began soon after human arrival and was virtually complete by the 1600s.